Hello, Ross Sadler, and I'm glad to welcome you to the second of our holiday period programmes in this summer season of Operetta from Forum BS On Demand. Like our Christmas broadcast of The Mikado, this particular performance also has a strong link with the festive season, in this particular case, New Year. Now, there could be little doubt that by 1950, Johann Strauss's operetta Die Fledermaus was one of the most successful operettas anywhere, or to be more precise, anywhere except the Metropolitan Opera in New York. Now, 1950 was actually the pre-dawn of the Rudolf Bing era as general manager of the Met, and even while waiting in the wings, so to speak, Sir Rudolf made no secret of the fact that he wanted to stage a successful Fledermaus at the Met. Many people thought that this incoming general manager was out of his mind. After all, there had been many attempts in the past. Heinrich Conried, one of Bing's predecessors, had produced a gala performance of Fledermaus with interpolations in the ballroom scene, and that's certainly not unknown anywhere else. But they were interpolations of no small order. There were artists such as Scotti, Eames and Caruso in showstoppers from Faust, Rigoletto and Falstaff. But the version lasted for only 5 performances. Well, Bing was determined, and he commissioned a new English language libretto with a free translation. The translators were Mel Mandel and Norman Sachs, both of whom had extensive experience for Broadway and knew what American audiences wanted to hear. The premiere took place on December the 20th, 1950, and was a runaway success. A success that has continued to this day, albeit nowadays with a different libretto, and becoming a real feature of New Year's Eve at the Met. 2 recordings were made of the original Met Fledermaus. The first was simply a recorded version of the original cast. Far more varied was the second, dating from the mid-60s, and with a specific focus on being cosmopolitan. This was obviously a version for the whole world, and particularly the English-speaking world. There were indeed Met stalwarts, such as Anna Moffo, who sings the role of Rosalinda, Jeanette Scavotti, who is Adele, and Rhesa Stevens as Prince Orlovsky, along with George London as Dr. Falker. But from there, the cosmopolitan nature of the recording set in. Richard Lewis from England was Eisenstein. One of the early crossover tenors, Sergio Franchi, sang the role of Alfred, and the New Zealand-based baritone John Hawkesville, whatever happened to him, was Frank the Jailer. And the orchestra and chorus weren't from the Met, but from the Vienna State Opera. Now, the prehistory of it all is that a year ago, Dr. Falker was caught up by his friend Gabriel von Eisenstein and left masquerading in public in a ridiculous Fledermaus or bat costume. There's no doubt that Falker decides to have his revenge, and Eisenstein, who's upset the authorities, is headed off to prison. So Falker decides to hijack Eisenstein, take him to a party, and knowing the way he'll behave, he's going to present him with his wife and his maid, but dressed up as other people, to make a total fool of him. Well, of course, the party takes place, masterminded by Prince Orlovsky, who doesn't really care what happens so long as he's amused. Orlovsky, of course, is a trouser role, which Rhesa Stevens sings to perfection on this recording. During the party, who else should turn up but Frank the Jailer, and he and Eisenstein become the best of mates. The clock strikes 6, and Eisenstein realizes it's 6 in the morning, he should be in jail. Frank also realizes that it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and he should be at work in jail. Well, they all go off to the jail, and they're tailed up by Adele, the maid, who wants to have a real big stage career. She thinks that Frank, who at the party made himself out to be a very wealthy man, is the person who will bankroll her career. Well, when she arrives at the jail and finds what Frank really does, she realizes things are a bit hopeless, but the rest of them all pile in with lots of champagne. I think it's going to be quite a nice week for Eisenstein in jail. Oscar Danon conducts this performance. So in the first scene, we see Eisenstein supposedly going off to jail, but actually thinking he's giving his wife the slip. Of course, Rosalinda is also giving him the slip. They're both going to turn up at the ball, as indeed is Adele, who has got a great story about having a very sick aunt that she has to go and look after. Life wasn't meant to be easy, and as soon as Eisenstein has gone, who should turn up but Rosalinda's music teacher, Alfred, wearing Eisenstein's dressing gown. He's come to spend the night.
My Rosalinda.
Oh, Alfred!
Here we are, just you and I. Let's not have this chance go by. All alone, just you and me. What an opportunity. Let us drink a toast to love. Here's to our romance. Let us make the most of love while we have the chance. Time is such a precious thing. All too soon the evening ends. On this fleeting moment, dear, everything depends. Oh, my heart, oh, my thumb-thumb-thumbing heart. Look at me, can't you see? Rosalinda, my darling.
used to know. He's not the same Alfred.
A toast!
Gone is the glow. He's got to go.
Rosalinda, I respect your composure, how correct. In your eyes, though, I detect. In your heart, you don't object. Come, admit what's in your heart. Say the way you feel. Once again, I'll win your heart. Win my word, I dare. Time is such a precious thing. All too soon the evening ends. On these fleeting moments, dear, everything depends. Come to me, oh my heart. Oh, my heart's been pounding hard. Look at me, have you seen? You made a thumping star.
But things are even more complex than you might think, because in no time, Frank the jailer appears, ready to escort Eisenstein to jail. Of course, it's a rather difficult scene, and the only way out of it is for Alfred to pretend he's Eisenstein and go off to jail. Frank's very, very glad to have bagged someone, because he's off to the big party.
Shh! Did you hear that? I thought I heard something.
Just the bumpity-bump of my heart.
No, no, there's someone at the door.
Ah, good evening, good people. Unfortunately, I'm Frank. Frank the jailer. I've come in person to escort Herr Eisenstein to jail.
But this is not my husband.
In the future, I can see just two people, you and me.
Have you completely lost your head?
Completely over you. Rosalinda, my dearest, my darling.
My sympathies, my friend. We must go.
Go, go.
Well, that's funny. I'm sure we can be good friends.
Yes, we could be if you would go away.
Fine job. Now it's time you brought your clothes.
Something wrong here.
Protect my name and play along.
If you want him, then something's wrong.
For whom but he would I adore? Would I have worn this perfume for? It cost me quite a bit. If he is not the man of the house, then we are playing cat and mouse. I do not like the tone of it. Why, that's infidelity. Sir, are you accusing me? Proper, yet improper.
Proper.
Is underway. The prince has welcomed his guests and now steps forward to give his formula for a successful party.
More often than not, a party mood depends on who's the host. My parties reflect my attitude, the best if I may boast. Not a Puritan, anything goes, as long as I'm amused. If one is eager to poison himself, the potion's not refused. A wish to walk the west balcony is happily approved. I may forget to mention the fact the balcony's been removed. I may forget precisely because the balcony's been removed. As a host, I am most congenial, so my parties are the best, for I grant any guest his request. For a supper at party giving, chaque à son goût. What a wonderful way of living, chacun à son goût. I never encroach on temperaments, no matter how they flare. This novel approach of mine prevents an everyday affair. The husband hoping to kiss a young miss need never have a fear. His wife, I guarantee, never will know, unless, of course, she's here. A duke may be determined to fight, his wish is not ignored. If there is no revolver around, I gladly supply a sword. There may be times when someone is gored, but no one is ever bored. As a host, I am most congenial, so my parties are the best, for I grant any guest his request. For a
super latte party gimme. Sugar songo, what a wonderful way of living. Sugar songo.
More guests arrive. Adele is wearing one of her mistress's best gowns, and she's introduced as Olga, an actress. Eisenstein is presented as Marquis Renan, and Frank, the prison governor, as Chevalier Chagrin. Eisenstein recognizes Adele, but she scoffs at his suggestion that she resembles his own chambermaid.
Look at how I look. Do I not appear the picture of elegant grace? Not an unhooked hook, not a lipstick smear, and all of my pleats in place. They say that in judging a book, care not how the cover may look. They say to use discretion, discard your first impression.
Disguised as a Hungarian countess, Rosalinda arrives, and soon Rosalinda is being wooed by her own husband. She's furious and decides to secure evidence of her husband's philandering. It's not long before she manages to steal Eisenstein's chiming watch, his chief prop in amorous adventures. As the evening goes on, the guests begin to wonder why this countess remains masked, and a few of them even doubt her Hungarian origin. However, Rosalinda puts their doubts to rest with a chardash.
Hey,
The champagne's flowing, everyone's happy, and it's not long before a toast is proposed. Who proposes the toast? Well, Dr. Falker, who has a somewhat vested interest in the outcome, and he's secretly delighted in the way things are going.
Champagne is a romancing
snappy, it makes the people happy. Uncork the cork, you'll hear not one object. It's time that we were sipping the nectar of all nectar.
So drink, let's drink a toast.
Sip, sip, and a hip, 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 hooray for champagne, more champagne. Drink to the drink we love to drink, then drink to the drink again.
Sip, sip, and a hip, 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 hooray for champagne, more champagne. Drink to the drink we love to drink.
Happiness, may the way you choose to live bring and the lift of love, and the dream your heart has dreamed of is a toast. Now I toast you.
All of you.
But just as Eisenstein is pursuing this wonderful Hungarian countess, the clock strikes six.
Tell me, my watch is fast, my friend. Have you the proper time?
Mine has met an untimely end. Gone, it's gone, it's such a crime. Watchful lady, let's not argue. Tell me, please, who are you? Lovely thief, please won't you tell? You've my heart and watch as well.
I'm still having fun with my disguise, but soon you will get a good surprise.
I cannot wait, I cannot wait to see
the face.
Of mystery, darling, take off your mask, I pray.
Don't you see? That would give the game away.
Won't it be fun when the game is through?
That would depend on the point of view.
Oh, I shall die in the dark this way.
Shot in the mind and deep in
six o'clock, what a shock! Mercy me, I'm late!
6 o'clock, what a shock! I'm pressing late!
On the sun, on the night, it's such a late night!
I've commitments to keep!
So have I gone, I'm asleep! I am late, I really must go!
Of course, as soon as I'm not tied up.
Goodbye, my friend. It's not the end. No, no.
Adele has followed Frank back to his office, and she decides to give him an impromptu display of her abilities as an actress.
Oh, for the life of an actress to wear a tiara on an actress and modestly manage to pose and nightly acknowledge applause. Would that Othello would murder me, a real Desdemona I'd be. Playing Lady Macbeth, I would revel in death. Is this a dagger that I see? And then, to be or not to be? For though you die before their eyes, the fine blue curtain always falls. Majestically you always rise to take a dozen curtain calls. Oh, for the life of an actress to wear a tiara. Star. My turn will come, all of it is
is a knock at the door. Frank hides Adele before allowing the new arrival to enter. Well, it proves to be none other than Eisenstein, ready to begin his sentence. Frank is absolutely baffled, for he already has one Eisenstein under lock and key. Of course, it's Alfred. Eisenstein becomes suspicious himself, and when the lawyer, Dr. Blind, arrives to consult with Alfred in his cell, he quickly changes clothes with him to try to learn the truth. Rosalinda rushes into the jail, anxious to arrange for Alfred's release before the real Eisenstein checks in. She's too late, but she and Alfred consult the disguised Eisenstein, hoping for advice, but they receive only embarrassing questions. Finally, Rosalinda declares her husband to be a monster, and Eisenstein reveals his true identity. And triumphantly, Rosalinda reveals the watch. Explanations are being made by all and sundry when Orlovsky and his guests arrive. A final toast to King Champagne brings the operetta to an end.
It's the effervescent factor that makes poisson very pois. It's the R in caviar.
It is sans je ne sais quoi.
That's it, in the cherry flower.
The imported is the best.
May I modestly suggest what good pays the word contest?
Pale or pink?
To drink the drink.
Sip it slowly.
And glasses clink.
Take your time.
Be sure to savor.
First aroma.
But then the flavor.
Give me but a musty cellar, crammed with cases ceiling high. Or to own my own Ratskeller.
I wouldn't go down the stairs and every party's night.
Not to you, so you'll need for your empiring this prescription I'm prescribing.
Have a lock and a big heavy chain. Should your cellar contain champagne? For it's more than a bunch of bubbles that tear.